promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, August 19th.
We are back.
We're back with a vengeance.
Roar! I just had to add that in there.
You did, huh?
You said the word vengeance, and I'm like, roar, vengeance.
Well, it is Monday, you know, and we feel a little militant and stuff, I guess. I need to get over the weekend's rest, you know. I mean, it was just so nice. The weather was beautiful yesterday.
It was.
And I spent some time in Hollywood, which was really nice.
You know, I didn't
realize. Yeah, sometimes, you know, some places they have like happy hour all day.
Yeah, well, it's a Sunday fun day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Bottomless mimosas. Get it? What?
Yeah, there you go. You see, I didn't know that. I don't live in Hollywood. What would I know, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it was fun. Went to a place called Tequila. Have you been there before?
Tequila?
Yeah, on Hollywood Boulevard. It's right between Highland and Cahuenga.
I've probably been there. I just didn't know it was called Tequila.
Yeah,
like we just
kind of. It's pretty cool.
You know.
Yeah, it's T E K I, not the regular spelling. Yeah.
They're clever.
I don't know if they're clever or not, but. So yeah,
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, like a Mexican place, you know, mm-hmm. Mexican food and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was cool, and. Yeah, you know, so it was a relaxing weekend.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a Sunday fun day yesterday.
Did
myself.
You?
A little bit. I posted a photo.
Did you go out of town or something?
I mimosa. No. Yesterday.
I thought you were going to Vegas or something. I don't know why I thought so.
No. That's for Labor Weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Duh, I'm totally confused.
Oh no, I'm holding out for that long holiday weekend. I'm gonna. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Party it out. Well, because it went for, you know, Memorial Weekend.
That's
and the
true.
Same group is like, all right, we're doing this again. We're planning this again.
Uh-huh.
Same people for, you know, for Labor Weekend.
Wow.
So I'm like, all right, I'm in. And now that time has come. So we're like, okay.
When is it? At the end of this month?
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
That's
I always it. Forget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well.
Yeah, the end I'm of sure this month fine. Into early next month. Something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you seem to like Vegas. That's a good thing.
I do, yeah, because that was like my first real like weekend in Vegas was Memorial
right.
Weekend.
Yeah.
And then I went one other time with some friends, and now I'm going again for Labor Weekend. I like it. It's fun. I mean,
it's fun, but isn't it too hot for you out there?
I mean, it's really, really hot, that's for sure. But for Memorial Weekend, we actually, we're at Wet Republic, which is like the outdoor pool club kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We were under like the shade, like we were next to the DJ booth.
Okay,
so
good.
We were, you know,
yeah.
We were all
either
good
that
back
or
there.
In the water, but you simply can't be out in the sun.
I don't,
it's too
I don't
much.
Know about that water.
Yeah.
I don't think I could.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, I don't
all
know.
All the people
full of,
peeing
like,
in there and stuff.
Just like full of like fake tanner and shit, you know?
I know,
like,
I know. The
no
water,
thanks.
I've noticed pools, like the big
murky.
Pools, yeah, murky. They're not clear, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, they probably start off clear,
yeah.
And then you give it like a few hours, and it's like, oh, what happened to that pool?
I know, and then it gets really warm,
you know?
You think
of all the hairspray.
Oh, my God.
Fake tanner and makeup. And, I mean, you know. That could leave off some residue there.
That's
and,
true. But you can take a shower. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You don't enjoy swimming in pee?
Yeah, I'm sure there's people peeing in the pool, too.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was here for the weekend.
Okay.
And I was at my Sunday fun day yesterday. I posted a photo. You can see it on my Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram.
Yeah.
Having fun, drinking?
What was this
drink, like, we got, you know, the thing to do is to get, you know, mimosas, right?
Right.
So
on a Sunday
by the time I met up with my friends at the bar, it was more like, I don't know, 5 or 6 o'clock.
So
it was later on. I don't know if I could really do like the morning Sunday fun day. Like, it might take me a minute to wake up before I can just start drinking. Like, I'm not cool enough for that yet. but it was this like the large, it was like a bowl basically, and
full of alcohol.
It was full of, like, it had like the orange juice in it. But what they did, they had like the small like bottle thing of champagne, and they just stuck the whole bottle in there, just upside down.
Really?
So you could see the photo. It's funny. So the photo of my friend Tiffany and I.
It's a small bottle of champagne. I mean,
right?
They
yeah, it's just like that big.
Yeah.
But the drink is like that big.
Really huge.
Like, I'm like, that big, that yeah. big. You guys can only
well,
hear me.
Well, maybe if you hold it closer to the mic, they'll see it.
Exactly. Look really far into your radio, phones, whatever you're using to listen to us. And maybe you can see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, she's holding it up to the mic so you can see.
But, it was just definitely... picture worthy for sure. So you can check that out.
Yeah. I know people have fun with drinks, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were sitting there, you know, watching people and stuff, and then people right outside of us, like one shot after another, they must have had like 5 shots or something.
Oh,
I don't know how people can
terrible.
Do that though. Yeah,
that
of Jaeger,
terrible.
You know.
Terrible. Oh gosh. That reminds me of the last Vegas trip.
Yeah.
They were doing Jaeger bombs literally 24/7. Oh, literally. Oh, wow. Do you notice how I just said literally? I'm going to have to like keep this in mind. I guess I heard the Oxford Dictionary now has literally for two different meanings.
Oh,
because
okay.
people will say it as a strong expression of something, like, wow, it's so hot in Vegas, it literally feels like it's a million degrees.
Right.
Like, that's, I feel like, how we say it more.
Right.
But, you know, the more proper way, like, back in the day, it meant, like, to be actually, like, serious, like, literal.
Right, exactly.
Or like I was literally very sad about that.
Yeah.
Like, how I changed that up, literally and literally. That's what they should do.
Yeah.
They should make one literally, so you know what they're saying, and then one literally,
okay.
as in, like, figuratively speaking, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
That's true. I mean, people do misuse it to make the sentence a little stronger and stuff.
Right, but now it's not a misuse. It's actually in the dictionary.
Oh, okay,
like that.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they do. They usually take all the abuse of the language and actually put it in the dictionary.
Yeah, we're evolving,
yeah.
I guess.
I
so our language doesn't die out.
Exactly.
They said that's what happens.
Yeah, that's what language is about, you know. I mean, you adopt slang words and then they become part of the, you know, of the language and stuff.
Yeah.
And but there's still, like, I mean, Facebook is the place where you see a lot of grammatical mistakes, you know. I mean, people just like screw up big time, you know. And they'll tell you, it's a typo, it's this, it's that. But, you know, you can't write like 3 sentences without any punctuation, you know. It just simply make me crazy, you
like
know.
Like a run-on sentence.
Yeah,
it keeps
exactly.
going.
Yeah,
like,
it keeps going
no
and
commas,
going and going.
No, okay.
No periods, no nothing, you know. And it's like, how are you supposed to read this?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. People should really think about this when they post, because it does show a certain amount of education, of intelligence, whatever, you know.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to be a grammar Nazi to notice some things and have it bother you, you know. I mean, I don't know if I'm a grammar Nazi or not, but, I mean, I'm really, like, picky about grammar and stuff.
Well,
I'll catch,
yeah.
like, everything. Mm-hmm. But I don't tell people about it, you know.
See, I remember in school we had this thing called DOL, which was Daily Oral Language.
Mm-hmm.
And it was part of, like, you know, like our everyday process in some grades. And I remember doing it from kindergarten through, like, sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had to have, like, these red pencil things. And there would be, like, a little strip of paper with sentences. And it would be all wrong. So we would have to correct it. So if it was lowercase and it was supposed to be capitalized, I think you put three lines underneath it.
Right.
And
yeah,
then you know, and that's how we learned our grammar. And yeah. I remember at home, if somebody would say something wrong, this drove my mom nuts when people are like, oh, so yesterday, me and my friend Melissa should be like, what? Wait, what was that? I'd be like, I mean, my friend Melissa and I, and then she'd be like, good D-O-L. Like, she would say bad D-O-L or good D-O-L, like if we said something, you know, wrong right. without the correct, you know, grammar or whatever. So that every time it makes me think of D-O-L.
I know. People do abuse, you know, you and I and you and me and things mm-hmm. like that, you know.
Even there.
Yeah,
I still find that people are spelling the there is wrong. And two, like yeah. T-O-O and then T-O, T-O, like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know what you're saying, obviously, yeah. but still, think
Oh, you know what gets me is an apostrophe in front of every S. It doesn't matter if it belongs there or not. They put an apostrophe there.
Yeah, well, you know, because I feel like it does that automatically in the autocorrect on the Apple products. Mm. If you're saying it's, like, it will always
right.
give you an apostrophe S.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because it's used more, I think. Okay,
mostly,
then
yeah.
I get that
right.
one, you know. But, I mean, like, in
yeah,
plural.
Yeah, I'll admit, I don't even think about that anymore.
When people write in plural, they put a friggin', you know, apostrophe there, you know. It's all over the place. I don't know. What I don't get is when people write, like, big signs, you know, mm-hmm. they print, like, really huge signs and stuff and make mistakes, you know. I mean, then, you know, there must have been a few people that it went through. Nobody noticed, you know. I
oh,
mean, what
man.
Is that?
Yeah.
So people do that all the time, you
that's
know.
That's rough. And, like, stop signs
yeah.
and stuff. Like, I'm sorry, what does that say? I think you spelled stop wrong. Like, yeah, how does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, grammar for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted grammar. To bring this up. I guess, again, they're making claims that Princess Di was murdered. But then again, you know, it never stopped. They made those claims all along, right? So what do you think? Do you think it was an accident or do you think it was planned?
Princess Di?
Yeah.
I remember being very young and watching that movie Evita right before, like afterwards, and then then after the movie was over, then the news came on and it said the princess died. So it was like so surreal. It was like very like sort of a similar-ish story. I mean, not, you know, like obviously Princess Di didn't get sick and die, which I think is what happens in Evita. But yeah, it was just, I don't know. It was like the whole like country was upset because of her death, and now everyone's upset because in real life, like Princess Diana had died in, you know, in the car crash. But it was like paparazzi in their near their vehicle, right? And then it caused the vehicle to crash.
They were chasing them and stuff, yeah. So there
pretty
was like
young,
a whole thing in Paris.
Uh-huh.
But I guess they're saying
so
it's just like
who would be the murderer? The driver? Like
no, they're saying the military was behind it and all that stuff, you know. But it's all, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, there's so much conspiracy with things nowadays.
Yeah.
Like everything has become a conspiracy. Like nothing's considered
organic like they're
anymore.
Saying, you know, with John Kennedy, you know, the assassination and stuff. There's been so many stories and so many versions of it that it's probably always going to happen, you know.
Right, right. They're always going to be finding new things and coming up with new crazy ideas.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows what's, you know, what's right and what's not. But yeah, it's interesting.
Well, yeah. But she's gone either way, so that's a sad thing.
Yeah, it is.
But now our son is in the news. He talks about fatherhood and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
Yes.
We really care, right?
He referred to his child as a little rascal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Can you imagine being watched by the whole world like that? I mean,
God.
You know?
I don't know about that. I mean, I don't mind being listened to by the whole world because, you know, I've just got so many interesting things to say. But being watched, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do some, like, crazy random things sometimes that I don't want everybody seeing, like, dancing in my living room.
Exactly. You know, they have to live for the people, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, talking about the UK... We have someone here. Are you from the UK?
I'm from Australia.
You are from Australia. What the hell, man? I totally screwed that one up.
Hey, it's totally fine. we're like, you know, we're like neighbors, basically.
That's true. Maybe I just didn't listen to you enough. We just said a couple of sentences before the show started, so I didn't pick it up. I didn't know you have an accent, though, so we spoke enough. But
well, it's good. You noticed that, so that's a good stat.
There you go. So we have Sarah D in the studio, and you're a musician.
Yes, that's correct.
And we connected on Facebook, right?
We did, yes.
Yeah, you noticed us somehow, and you asked me if you could be on the show.
Yeah.
And I said, of course.
Nice. You know? Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, awesome. Of course. We always like to have nice musicians, and especially beautiful musicians and stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Very sweet of you.
Thank you. So we'll get to your music and stuff in a minute. And so let's find out a little bit about you. So you're from Australia originally.
Yes. So
and where in Australia?
I'm from a little city called Adelaide, and it's basically in the south of Australia. So, you know, everybody knows the East Coast. So they know Brisbane, they know Sydney, they know Melbourne. Yeah. As soon as I say Adelaide, everyone's like, yeah, I know what that is. I'm like, you really don't. Don't pretend. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. So it's basically west of Melbourne. So it's like in the next state is the capital city of South Australia. Mm-hmm. And it's only like an hour plane ride to Melbourne, 2 hours to Sydney. But yeah, nobody really knows too much about it because it is a much smaller city compared to those bigger ones on the east.
Is it a beach town? I mean, are you guys on the beach?
Yeah. I literally used to live like a 5-minute drive from the beach. Wow. It was amazing. Yeah.
That's nice.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah.
It was literally 5 miles.
It was, or like, you know, a 20-minute walk, depending on the day, however you feel. But yeah. Yeah, the beaches are amazing over in Australia.
Yeah.
The number one thing that I miss about it, for sure.
Yeah. So you're really far south. I mean, you're probably like, you know, I mean, pretty close to the South Pole. I mean, you know, and I mean, not that close, okay, but compared to other continents and stuff,
mm-hmm.
That's
definitely
pretty far south.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty close, but then there's also Tasmania, which is like the little island coming off of Australia on the bottom. That's like even further down.
Right.
So they're much closer, so it gets a lot cooler there. But, you know, we get those little cool waves too.
Yeah.
I don't think
I've heard of the Tasmanian devil, you know, I know.
Yeah.
That was probably one of my favorite parts about Australia was the wildlife. I loved it. And the emus, they scare the crap out of me, but they're awesome.
Try being chased down by one.
Yeah, I was.
You were?
Oh, I was. Oh, yeah. My little brother and I, it was great. We were like, wow. Because their heads, like, they dip low. You know, and then when you get close to them, then their necks come all the way up and they become this large bird. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't think you were that intimidating before.
They're ginormous. And the way that they run is very intimidating.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They're scary.
Are they like ostriches or something? Or
almost. I mean,
like in that family.
What's it called? Emu? Sorry. Like
E-M-U? Yeah, E-M-U.
Okay.
Emu.
Yeah. Let me see what that is.
They can go pretty large.
Oh, wow. It looks kind of like an ostrich. I mean, the face and stuff.
Yeah.
No, but they're not as big. No, they're not as big.
I mean, at least they don't fly, but they are pretty scary.
Yeah.
When it comes
to
close to
them. Scary stuff.
There was one that was running around, and all of a sudden we look behind it. It's being chased by this tiny little bird. It was probably like a finch or something.
No way.
And it just took off, and we're thinking, God, where's that one going? And we see this little bird like coming after us. Like, wow, really? Like, look at you. Look at that small bird, you know, like, okay,
oh my gosh.
All right.
I didn't realize you'd been to Australia. When did you go?
Yeah, I went, I think it was like in middle school, and I went with my family for about a week or so for spring break.
Where'd you go?
It was awesome. We were in, we started off in Sydney for a few nights, and then we went to, I don't know, somewhere else. I'm sure if my mom's listening, she'll text me in a minute and be like, you were here, here, and here. I'm like, okay, thanks, mom. I'm sure I'll get the exact details in a minute. But yeah, we were by some beach. We like rented some condo thing, and it was so, so, so nice. Like the people there are super friendly and so patient.
Oh, yeah?
So patient. At least where we were.
Yeah. I mean, we do have that kind of more relaxed kind of persona. Everyone's just like laying on the beach, very chilled out. Yeah. Go to the pub and have a few drinks, you know. That's like the typical Australian for you.
Yeah. And it was very like listening to the same music and into the sort of the similar fashions.
Right.
Like it's very similar.
Well, they can afford to do that. I mean, it's like there's no like wars there. There's no trouble, you know, a little like terrorism and things like that. So there's not a lot to be worried about, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's not too much in that kind of sense that happens. We are a very big country for like more natural disasters and things, especially like on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Like for example, in Queensland, they have a lot of like hurricanes and floods and things like that. But like I said, where I'm from, nothing ever happens in every single way possible. But it's not a bad place. I mean, I love my city. It's such a beautiful, you know, place to visit. But like as far as opportunities and things, a lot of people tend to go interstate or overseas for them and, you know, just come back to Adelaide as a little visiting spot, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a bit of a flight, too.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it.
Oh,
it's
for sure.
Especially
if
you don't do it every day, you know, so it's okay.
That's it.
Right. So that's interesting. So you come from a small town and everything, but you've had big dreams, obviously, right?
Yeah, definitely.
From early on?
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember how it all kind of happened. It was when I was 9, I was basically, because I'm Polish as well, so my parents would send me off every summer to, like, this Polish camp.
Really?
And, you know, with all my Polish friends, and would have, like, little discos and stuff, and I was like, I really like to dance, and I really like to sing, and whatnot. And then there was this one girl who, like, knew of some talent school in the city, and she was like, maybe you should go check this place out. But I was, at the same time, I was such a shy child too. Like, I would hate to go anywhere without my mom. Like, even when I was 9, I was such a little puss. But then I attended my first class, you know, obviously nervous as hell. And from there, I kind of just pushed my boundaries and kind of tried to get as far as out of my comfort zone as possible, just to like, I don't know, there was something in me that was just, I want to do it. But, you know, in the back of your mind, you're still freaking out about it. But I was just like, push through it. So since I was 9, I was taking classes. And by the time I was 12, I was in this performance group that was like performing all around Adelaide and doing different like corporate events, charity events, like festivals.
So you discovered you like to sing and stuff?
Yeah.
And
like,
you really...
Definitely, like, I had a few little idols when I was younger. Like, I know back in the 90s, Britney was a huge, like, influence on a lot of little girls, like, including
Britney
me. I know, but, I mean, I still love her now, but, you know, just in a different way.
Yeah.
Like, I still admire, like, all that like, she did on her success and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, like, your influences always change, and,
that's
you know,
true.
Just as you kind of develop as well as an individual. So she was kind of the main reason why I kind of started enjoying singing and dancing in the first place, because I saw her do it. But then, like I said, I was just performing in a group around Adelaide, different events, shows, competitions. We did a whole bunch of dance competitions, which took us actually to Los Angeles in 2006.
Oh, nice.
To compete in the World Hip Hop Championships as
well.
Aww. So it's been a bit of an adventure. My childhood just consisted of going to school and going to dance classes and singing classes and performing, pretty much.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's the way I liked it. Stay out of trouble. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, you're talking about Britney Spears and stuff, and you were like 10 years old and stuff.
Yeah.
And it amazes me how much, you know, I never really realized, you know, they talk about artists and stuff having a lot of influence on their fans and on the kids, but you never really realize it until, you know, you talk to someone and you realize, wow, you know, so they really have to watch what they do, you know, because they influence a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, so you get like a Justin Bieber or something and he gets into all kinds of trouble and I guess the fans think it's okay, you know, and then you start having kids acting up and stuff.
Right, yeah.
So there's a lot of influence, I think, on kids, you know. There's not a lot of resistance from a child, you know, and you see your star doing this and doing that and you think it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
Right. That's why, I think it's very important when you're in that kind of spotlight, you need to kind of, in a way, behave yourself, but also be true to yourself. But if you want to influence your audience, you have to kind of do it in a more professional kind of sense too, and not teach kids that, okay, doing this is fine, and, you know,
yeah,
going running amok.
When your audience is little kids, yeah.
Yeah,
you know? I mean,
right.
When if your audience is grown up and stuff, there's nothing wrong with it, obviously.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially because, like, younger kids, they retain so much information of what people do.
Right,
so.
Yeah, even Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these kids were obsessed with her as Hannah Montana, and then when she kind of became, like, a teenager and, like, discovered, you know, sex and sex sells, and she kind of, you know, went in a different direction, and parents were kind of getting upset.
Right.
You know, but
then you have Amanda Bynes, who has been getting into trouble.
Oh boy, that's and a whole nother story.
Yeah, she had a lot of influence and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, so,
she did. Nickelodeon, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I used to watch it with my kids all the time. The Amanda Bynes show, you know, and now she's totally screwed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went from being like, oh, I'm going to quit the business, I'm done, to now just, you know, terrorizing the neighborhood.
Acting out
like,
and
my
stuff.
Gosh.
Yeah. Actually, last week, I guess her mom won a suit where she's in charge of all her finances now. You know, and I mean, Amanda Bynes is an adult, you know, so that's kind of unusual to see.
Yeah,
but maybe because of all the trouble she's had with the law, they figured, okay, what the hell, you know, we'll do it.
Somebody's got to take some action.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody who knows what they're doing.
Right.
Oh, so my mom said it's Kogi Beach.
Kogi?
Yeah.
Kogi?
Kogi.
Kogi.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay.
That's awesome.
Kogi.
That's funny.
That's
where you went?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I didn't remember a name like that. That's funny. Okay. Anyway.
Coogee.
We have some very interesting names across Australia, like Wagga Wagga and Woolloomooloo. Like,
right.
They're quite interesting. You just be like, what?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because you have a lot of natives and the Aborigines.
Exactly.
And
exactly. So a lot of things like here, I mean, is named after like, you know, the Latin kind of culture as well. And
either that or Indians or Native Americans. Or
So here in Australia, it's all about, you know, after our natives as well. So it's interesting.
That's
it's fun, though.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, Woolloomooloo. How many O's is that?
So you started singing at an early age. You decided that it's your passion?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, though, as a child, I had a very big confidence issue. So I would sing, but I would always sing part of a group. And then it wasn't until after, like, I, you know, everybody kind of went their ways and, you know, we all grew up and things. Then I was just like, okay, well, I want to try doing this for myself. I think I've got enough confidence now to finally go out there and take some action myself.
Because,
I mean, as cool as it is to be as a group and, you know, you kind of become a really tight family at the end of the day, there's so many things that you're just going to have to do yourself and experience yourself, too.
That's true. That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
And usually the singers are the ones that get tired of it first.
Yeah.
And they go out on a solo career, you know.
Yeah, but it's just an adventure.
Yeah.
You know.
So at what point did you decide to leave? And so did you move directly to L.A. from there?
Let me think. I basically... Because I used to dance as well as sing. So I kind of visited Los Angeles a few times during, you know, since that competition in 2006. I came back in 2008 for like a dance kind of summer intensive. And then that's when they were starting to talk about like work visas to come to the States and things. And I was just like, oh man, like I wish I could get one of those. Like since then, I was just like always so curious. And I was just wanting to come out to the States. And then in 2009 I came back for another 3 months this time just to like study and study dancing again. And then I discovered Musicians Institute, the music school
in
Hollywood.
My daughter went there actually.
Nice. Yeah.
So you went there, you decided
I did.
To go there?
Yeah. So in 2009 I visited the school and had a tour and I was like, Mom, I want to come here so bad, and like, you know, crazy kid. And then in 2010, it was my goal to come in back to LA to start that. So as soon as I got home, I was just like, okay, saving, working like 7 days a week, putting away money. And I was just like, okay, September 2010, I'm going to LA. And then since then, I came here and been here. Yeah.
So you knew you liked it here. I mean, from the beginning.
Yeah,
huh?
No, definitely. And like the weather's awesome as well.
The weather's awesome.
It just reminds me of home. So.
And the industry is here.
Yeah.
And that's where it's happening.
Exactly. So. Yeah. You know, I thought study, then see what else I can do out here, and even you know, travel within the States, like even New York or Nashville as well. So.
Right. Did you know anybody here when you came?
I did more in the dance world, but now it's kind of the opposite. It's like now I got more music friends and music connections. Right. So it's
now
cool
you've
though.
Been here for a while, yeah. So
So
you managed to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, before we continue, let's play some of your music.
Yay.
Because I don't want to run out of time or have to play them back to back. So you can tell us a little bit about the music. We'll get to the album and everything. But the first tune, I guess, is Stand Up.
Yep.
Right? And so you have a CD here. It's called Over You. And it's Sarah D, Sarah with an H and the letter D. And so let's play Stand Up.
All right, let's
okay,
do it.
We'll play it, then you can tell us a little bit about it.
I can't count on one hand how many times I caught you out chasing her tail around and round. Your cheap talk once amused me. The same lines are wearing out. Your dirty secrets will finally come round.
Wow.
Girl.
Girl, you got it there, man.
I love it.
Yeah, Sarah D, stand up. Now, I mean, your voice is, like, very powerful, you know.
Thank you. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. I've been working on that.
Yeah, well, that's good, you know. And because you can't be shy when you sing, you know. You got to give it your all, right?
That's it. Yeah. I totally agree. And coming from where I was, I think, you know.
Yeah.
It's getting there. It needs to be where it needs to be.
So, so you came here and you knew some people in dance and stuff, but mm-hmm. did you know anybody in music, in the music industry? Or?
Honestly, not so much, but I think that's where the Musicians Institute came in so handy and so nice. Like, while I was studying, I got to meet so many musicians from different right. departments, like, you know, drummers, bassists, guitarists, other right. singers. So it was nice to start a little network that way and then... You know, friends know other friends, and then friends, and so on. So
that's true. And
yeah.
And you start forging alliances with people and
yeah.
things like that. Yeah.
It grows from there, really.
Yeah, that's true. So now, I'm sure you decided, okay, I'm going to make a CD and mm-hmm. stuff the moment you got here, right? I mean, that's what
yeah.
you wanted to do.
I mean, at first, because like, when I got here, to be honest, I didn't know anything really from the technical, or not technical, I'd say like, you know, the sight reading part of music or even, right. you know, basic instruments. All I was a pure singer dancer. And then
right.
I think that's why the school came in so handy too. Like it helped me build those tools and then also right. the business side of it as well. And then, you know, having more knowledge gave me more of a clear mind of where I want to go and what I want to do with it. So.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah, that's great. So yeah. you wrote that?
I did. Yeah. I wrote it without.
You write all your songs?
I do. I mostly write songs myself, but for this EP in particular, I did it with my producer, mm-hmm. Andres Torres, who's he was a drummer at the school, and he's from Colombia, and mm-hmm. I just met him, you know, through there, and we were just talking. He's like, "Yeah, I'm a drummer, but I produce too." I'm like, "Oh, sick. Okay, well, maybe we should get together and like work some things," and it kind of just went yeah. from there. So
that's cool. Awesome.
A lot of fun.
So did he do the production and the editing and all that stuff?
Yeah, so he did a lot of the production stuff and
the arrangement.
Yeah, he yeah. did a lot of that, but then obviously, you know, whenever I come in and he's like, "Have a listen to this, tell me what you think," then, you know, I put my little input in it and I kind of tell him how I want it to sound too. So he did that, and then he did the mixing, and then we took it over to one of his friends in Colombia for the mastering and things, because he knows more people over there. He's been in the business for a while.
So, great.
Yeah.
And who played all the instruments on this? Did you have a group or?
But this track in particular, it was pretty much just all of Andres's, you know, he programmed some drums,
right.
he did the
all
guitar.
All the computer and stuff, yeah.
yeah. So, yeah. And all the synths and mm-hmm. stuff. He's a very big synth kind of based
right.
Producer. He likes playing around with those, so.
Yeah. yeah. Well, that's how you create.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, that's how you create most of the music on, you know, on mm-hmm. the computers with a keyboard, you know.
A lot,
stuff,
yeah,
so.
Definitely.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
Did you learn any of this stuff in the school too? Like how to do some of this stuff, like a Pro Tools type of a thing?
Yep, yeah, yeah. We did like some Logic classes, and then you can have like as an extra subject the Pro Tools, and mm-hmm. You can learn, you know, just the basics from there. And
right.
I took that as well, which was like it definitely taught me a lot. And now it's just a matter of me being more comfortable doing it myself, because like I'm better more just, okay, let's write the song and let's strum
yeah.
some chords, and then, you know,
there you go.
I have other people who can help me put it together.
Right. So do you play the guitar? I mean, is that how you write your songs? And
yeah,
you
I do. Well, I mean, it kind of depends. Like, I feel like sometimes the guitar for me doesn't make me feel as free as I could be, because like I feel sometimes if I'm strumming some chords, I just come up with like this really lame melody.
Yeah, a different song.
Yeah, so that's why I would just rather just think of like the melodies kind of first, or you know, the concept, the idea, and then put it to a guitar. So I mean, I have different ways. It just really depends on how I feel on the day or whatever.
Yeah.
But definitely my big thing is just trying to start with like a really catchy, or like, you know, catchy melody or a catchy title and a really good concept, because I mean you know, so many songs these days are about love, or like falling in love and falling out of love, but it's the way that you say it that makes it how awesome it is, you know?
Okay.
So,
if you say so.
I know people like look at me and they're like, "She's freaking crazy. I don't know what she's talking about." But that's how I think.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, you know.
Definitely.
So let's play another song. The song is Over You. And so this is also a love song. I mean, obviously, a disappointed love song.
Yeah, kind of. With these songs, they're a bit more on the, like, the breakup side of love.
No,
you kind of just got to get things off your
That's
chest
true.
When you need to.
Over you and gone and all this stuff.
Yep.
So you've had your heart broken a couple times?
Oh, yeah, you know, it happens. But then, you know, there's also the good stuff that happens that you need to write about, which I'm currently doing now. And it's nice to take a different side of the song, too. And
yeah,
you can literally write about anything these days. So.
Yeah, but it works better when you write from your heart, right?
I mean, definitely.
From your own experience and stuff.
Definitely. So these are those songs.
Okay. Nice. Well, here's Over You by Sarah D, and let's take a listen.
You were perfect like some guy from my dreams. You kept me close and you helped me, or so it seemed. You built me up, tore me down like a love was true. I guess you thought I was naive, but baby, it's over now. I'm picking up the pieces from where you left me. I think I am over.
Damn straight.
So good. I love
it.
Agreed. So that hits close to home.
Yeah,
for
right.
A lot of females. You know, we're all like, yes, I am so over you.
Yeah.
Oh, that felt so good to even say. Anyway.
Now walk it up.
Yes.
And great beat to it. I mean, it's definitely a dance tune.
Yeah,
stuff.
Definitely. So with the EP, I mean, we kind of wanted to have a few different feels to it. So, you know, have that kind of pop rocky vibe, but then also have a song that can be like a little dance, like number two, and really get people moving and things. So.
And it sounds like a lot of fun making these.
It's so much fun. And like, I just remember like going back to when I was recording like vocals with Andres, like all would ever be doing like half the time, just like laughing about stupid jokes and stuff. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's like, okay, now we need to focus and work. So, you know, it's a lot of fun doing it. So.
Yeah. No, it is a lot of work when you're recording.
Yeah.
You like sleep in the studio. It's 24/7. Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah, because it's not all fun, you know. I mean, you're not singing all the time and stuff like that. You have to.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes a lot of patience and stuff, too, huh, mm-hmm. to get it just right.
Yeah, and especially, like, if you're doing a lot of stuff independently, because, you know, you literally have to be in charge of everything. So
right.
it's like from, you know, writing the music, finding musicians, from doing shows, promoting things, and, you know, doing the whole works and just trying to find creative ways to do it for people to be like, oh, that's really cool, like, what's this person about, you
right,
know?
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, if you don't have those fans or the interest, then it's just like, okay, well, now I need to work on a project that's going to, you know, push me forward and get me those fans, because at the end of the day, without them, you really don't have too much.
That's true, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now, I know the industry has changed quite a bit and stuff. Do you still need to have a record company to come out with a record? You can just put it on iTunes, right? And
I mean,
CD Baby and things
like
that.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean, like, a lot of people have started doing, like, their own independent labels, which, you know, seem to be doing a lot better than a lot of the majors.
Really?
Yeah, and it's just, it really depends what it is that you want. And because, you know, for example, being a part of a major, it's not like you really have that much choice to do what you want to do. You kind
exactly.
of have to go on
exactly,
other
yeah,
people's timelines. Yeah, whereas mm-hmm. like if you do things independently, you're like, okay, I want to do this today
right.
and I want to have it finished by this time, and I don't know, you can kind of feel more like the boss and, you know, have things out whenever you feel
right.
like it. And
right.
So there's an up and down to both. I mean, like with majors, it's awesome because then, you know, their distribution is huge, but if you're, you know, one of those like artists who get shelved and never hear, gets heard, and then it's just like, okay, well, I'm just wasting my time sitting here.
Right, yeah. Like,
so,
what's the point?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot to think about if you ever want to get signed to a major.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think just getting into the music industry takes a lot of courage, and I think you really have to love what you do.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it requires a lot of patience, a lot of dealing with rejection and things like that mm-hmm. too, right? Just like being
yeah.
an actress and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
And because it's just so much competition, you know.
Definitely.
And to stand out and stuff is not easy, you know. You constantly have to be promoting.
That's
stuff.
It. And
yeah.
the thing is, like, you know, when you look at timelines of people, for example, like Katy Perry, you go back into like 2008 when she was almost like nobody knew too much about her and she was just so ordinary. And then,
right.
you know, you create whatever it might be, like a character or, you know, an over-exaggeration of your personality just
right.
so, you know,
right.
people can start...
Like Lady Gaga.
Yeah,
yeah.
kind of start seeing you. And it's just interesting because, like, you know, Madonna's queen of that. She just reinvents, and it's always something surprising and new for people to see. And they're
right.
like, oh, this is interesting. And, like, sometimes people might not like it, but, I mean, at the end of the day, somebody's always going to enjoy
it, yeah.
you know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And
catches
it,
attention,
it,
for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, and it keeps things fresh and stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So. And plus you adjust yourself to different generations and stuff, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
Madonna's like 55, right? She just celebrated, I think, or something.
Yeah. Wow.
And, or 50, I think, 50. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's not easy, but I salute people to do this. Now, how do you support yourself in the meantime until you become like the next Britney?
Well, yeah, I do, because, like, right now I'm on my visa for singing and dancing, so I've been doing a few, like, dance gigs here and there to help me out, and,
nice.
You know, there's occasional, like, session singing kind of gigs, too,
mm-hmm.
so I keep it all within the field, and, you know, right now everybody at the end of the day needs to have, like, some sort of side day job, so I'm kind of looking
yeah.
for something, but at the mm-hmm. moment I'm trying to keep it, you know, music, dancing,
yeah.
entertainment. And
that's
right,
cool.
Yeah.
yeah.
So you got a visa and then you have to leave and come back and stuff like that? Is that how
yeah.
it works?
Well, I recently just got one, so I had to go home and finish up the paperwork. And then, so that's for 3 years. And then after the 3 years, I can renew it. I can just go home. I can kind of do whatever I want. So.
But it's nice to have a visa for 3 years.
Yeah,
I never heard of that.
It's definitely yeah. great because it gives you that, you know, that time where, you know, okay, I have 3 years here now.
Right.
What's my timeline going to be? What am I going to, like, my next plans and everything?
Right.
Rather
right.
than before, I was just like, oh, my God, I don't know what's going on with my life. Where am I going to be? So now it feels like, you know, I can finally settle a little bit and relax a bit more.
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I know you're going to do great. You know, you're very talented
Thank
and
you.
Very
yeah.
beautiful
Love
and stuff
songs.
And ambitious. And I think... I think these are like the most important things, you know, to be able to be persistent and stuff like that. So tell people where they can find you, where they can find your music.
Sure. Well, basically, you can just go to my website, which is www. I don't know how many W's that was, but sarahdofficial.com. So it's Sarah with an H and the letter D.com.
Officially. I mean, official.
Yep.
SarahDofficial.com.
Yeah, and then from there you can literally find, you know, the YouTube, music, photos, news. I post a lot of news of what's going on.
Cool.
Shows, everything.
Yeah, I see. You got a blog here and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to find on
Good
the website.
Deal.
So you guys should definitely check it out. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys so much.
Of course. You're a lot of fun, very talented. I'm very impressed with the music.
Yeah.
And I know you'll do very well.
Thank you.
So that's it, I guess, Mia. Thank you.
So. Thank you.
And
Sam.
We'll also put a link to your website on our
Perfect.
Website
thank
so people
you.
Can find you. And everybody, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show, or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.